Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from John chapter 6. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. This is the text. We read in the Gospel of Matthew about a rich young man who came up to Jesus and asked the question, Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life? To which Jesus replied, You want to enter life? Keep the commandments. Which ones? The man asked. Jesus replied, Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself. All these I have kept, the young man said. What do I still lack? Jesus answered, If you want to be perfect, go, sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sad, because he had great wealth. In the Gospel of Luke, we hear on another occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. And he asked him, Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? To which Jesus replied, What's written in the law? How do you read it? The man answered, Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. Question is, how do you even begin to do this? There is no way we can keep all of God's law, especially given the fact that we are born children of Adam, steeped in sin. Complete and utter selflessness is what would be required. It's the only way that we could even approach doing what is pleasing in God's sight if we attempt to do this on our own. And we know that this is impossible for us because the law, it demands that we are perfect, that we are complete in every way. It's not just, as Luther rightly points out in the catechism, that, you know, thou shalt not kill. Oh, I've never killed a man, so I'm doing okay. We should fear and love God so that we do not hurt or harm our neighbor in his body. But even beyond that, we are to help and support him in every physical need. That's why when Jesus answered this expert in the law, he told him the story of the Good Samaritan. You want to keep God's law? Every person you meet, you would have to treat as the Good Samaritan treated the man who we found lying on the road. We all fall short, way short of what the law demands, which is why we don't look to the law for our salvation. But our sinful nature always wants to. It's like what we heard last week in the gospel reading, also from John 6, when the crowd who had followed Jesus after the feeding of the 5,000, they get their bellies filled, and then they come to him and say, What must we do to do the works God requires? Jesus simply answers, This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. There's nothing else that you can do that will improve your relationship with God. Believing in the forgiveness won for us on the cross. Trusting in Christ, the suffering servant sent by God, who was pierced for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. This is our only hope, to do the works God requires. What kind of work is believing in the one who was sent? What does Jesus mean when, when he says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Luther's catechism very correctly states, I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. If believing is not done by my own reason or strength, but I am called to faith by the Holy Spirit through the gospel, and I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, how do I, as we hear in our gospel reading today, come to him so that I shall never hunger? What kind of work or works is Jesus talking about? With the rich young man who led this impeccable life by the world standards, or the expert in the law who was undoubtedly an outstanding citizen, pillar of the community, I am sure. Their lifestyles, clearly, their works were not enough. They were not complete in their keeping of the law. We need to look closely at Jesus' answer to the people's question that we heard last week. He says, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. What do you know? Jesus agrees with Luther. Or maybe vice versa. Faith, believing, your believing in Jesus, it's the work of God. It's not your work. It's the work of God in you. It is God who has begun this good work in you. It is God who brings this work to completion. It is Christ who is the author and perfecter of your faith, as Scripture says. It is the Holy Spirit who calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth, as Luther says in the Catechism. It's always, though, our sinful human nature's inclination to seek salvation through our own effort. We always want to be the lost sheep going out looking for the shepherd, finding Jesus. But he's the one who finds us. He's the one who creates that faith in you. As the rich young man and the expert in the law and the crowd who followed Jesus after the feeding of the 5,000 found out, it is the work of God alone. Salvation is not possible apart from faith. Faith in the mercy and forgiveness of God, which we receive only by grace. It's not a work. Now, the people in our text today, they understood the concept that, you know, if a man does not work, neither shall he eat. That's why they asked the question, what must we do to be doing the works of God so that we can keep getting, you know, loaves and fishes brought to us? It's implied. Jesus simply answers, partake of the bread of life. Receive the gift of faith. I am the bread of life. The question is not, what must you do to be a good Christian? Rather, what has God done for you already in Christ that you can actually be near and in the presence of God? Because if we are lawbreakers and under the wrath of the law, we cannot stand before our Lord. We need the bread of life. So the real question is, where do you get this bread? God is not random in where he offers this bread. You're not just going to happen upon it out in the world somewhere. Jesus says, the bread that I will give for the life of this world is my flesh. Our faith is a gift. Our Father in heaven sent his son to have his flesh pierced on the cross. The Son of God has given his flesh as a gift to us that we partake of here within Christ's church. Our faith is a gift. We are receiving it through God's word and sacraments. We're not believers in God because we're smarter or wiser than other people. Our faith is not the result of us being better than those around us. We are a people of faith, and we are the people of God because God chose to love us. He chose to offer his son as that ransom price for your sin and mine. Our relationship with God, it's a gift. We do not deserve to be anywhere in the presence of God, ever, certainly not for eternity. Our faith is a gift. We don't deserve to know him. We've done nothing to deserve this. All that we have done is we have received it. Yet this greatest of all gifts, it's an object of scorn. Jesus even tells the disciples, I've shown myself to be the bread of life, yet you don't believe me. Our world looks at Christ as an object of scorn. Something that, is of legend or fairy tale status. At least an object of indifference. Our world has chosen to reject the bread of life. Our sinful nature, it's very foolish indeed. It always is. Even among those who desire to know God, or at least express a desire to know God, our sinful nature, always wants us to be like the rich young man, or the expert in the law, or the crowd who followed Jesus because they wanted their bellies full. Our sinful nature wants to have a relationship with God based on misguided notions, such as that the reality of sins is no big deal, and that it actually doesn't separate us from God, and that we can just kind of look past it, that we don't need to confess our sins or hear the absolution. We don't need the flesh and blood of Christ to cover our sins, because deep down we're all good inside. Our sinful nature wants you to believe that you can find God pretty much anywhere, or hear him speak elsewhere than in his word, or that you can, find him just up on a mountain. We had a great time in Montana. Beautiful. It was some challenging things, some very, godly activities that we engaged in, and the word of God was heard. But the word of God was heard not because the mountains were beautiful. The word of God was heard because the word of God was spoken, and it was received. The same thing is true in your life. It's not just going to happen that you are in proximity to God. He has chosen to speak to you in his word. He has chosen to come to you under the form of bread and wine. We look at our relationship with God, and we see that under the law, we have no hope. Being sinful, it's not just something that I do. It's something that I am by nature. And only by the grace of God has anything been done to change that situation, or end the separation from him into which you and I were born. It took the broken body and shed blood of the Son of God to change us. And without that broken body and shed blood, all that would be left in me is sin. Because none of us can do enough good to make us pleasing to God. You are God's people because He chose you to be His people. He loves you. He forgives you. And He feeds you with the bread of life. Amen. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.